turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 15. Especially going to be looking at some things in the first 20 verses that will be our reading for this evening. Matthew 15, beginning with verse 1. Let's hear God's holy word. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch.' Then Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' So Jesus said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.'" May God give his blessing to this portion of his word. Now this incident with Jesus ought to sound, for those of you who have been attending a while, fairly familiar. Because there is a parallel account in Mark's gospel that we looked at a few years ago when we were going through that gospel. Now, I'm taking a break from John tonight because of things that happened early this past week. Particularly, am I thinking of the mess that happened in Blacksburg, Virginia, the shooting that occurred there. And I have been listening as you have and reading as you have the commentaries about the whole situation and the ideas people have about why it happened and what to do about it. And so on and so on. I thought it would be profitable for us to consider again, though from a different gospel, Jesus' teaching about where evil comes from. And so that is the title of the sermon, of course. Where does evil come from? Now, in this incident, the first thing we want to look at is in verses 1 through 9. And we want to find out who or what defines what is evil. For after all, that makes a big difference. Who defines what is evil? There are a lot of people who would say that things you believe to be good are evil. And an awful lot of things that you believe to be evil, they would say, are good and progressive and that sort of thing. So, where do we find out what is good, what is evil? How do we determine what is good? How do we determine what is right? How do we determine what is true? Well, the Pharisees were combating Jesus on this. They had an entirely different idea of where truth was to be found, goodness and right. The Pharisees and those who have followed after them in after years would say it is through the tradition of the elders. And Jesus says, no, it is in the unchanging Word of God. All along, as a matter of fact, folks, in the history of the church, there has been this ongoing struggle. The struggle to maintain the ultimacy of God's revealed Word as the alone, infallible guide to faith and morals. Now, we do have teachers given to us by the church, and we shall talk about that in just a few moments. God has gifted the church with teachers, and we are not to despise God's good gift. However, let us say this. The Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the alone infallible guide to faith and life. All along in the history of the church, there have been some who have tried to add to the Bible. Sometimes it's very obvious when they make up new holy writings. And we have that even today with cults. You have an established science and health with key to the Scriptures that the Christian Science people have. You have the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price and the Doctrines and Covenants and continued revelation in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You have the ongoing revelation going on claimed by the Watchtower Society, the society being the end-time prophet of God. And these prophecies, these ongoing revelations, are there in the pages of the Watchtower magazine. But sometimes it's more subtle. Sometimes people say, well, I know the Bible doesn't speak to this, but if God only knew, if God had only realized this situation, and so they, well, they're maybe not quite that explicit about it, but they begin adding things to God's Word, saying, well, everyone knows or should know that such and such is wrong. Well, how do you know this? Well, everyone knows that, but it's not in Scripture. It's not in Scripture. There are others who take away from what the Bible says. Oh, I know the Bible says that, but that is their watchword, you see. I know the Bible says that, but always watch out for that but, friends. It means they don't really believe it. In fact, often it happens that the two, adding to the Bible and taking away from it, are strongly connected. As a matter of fact, that's what we see exactly happening here with these Pharisees. They had added to the Scripture, and so they had ended up taking away. They thought it would be a good idea to secure gifts and vows to the Lord, and so they made additional requirements. But then they took away from God's law by saying, oh, well, you don't really have to keep the fifth commandment in that case. And so by their traditions, they attempted to nullify, to take away part of the Scriptures. And here, with this additional washing of hands, which is nowhere commanded in Scripture, and it's not the kind of washing of hands, children, that your parents make you do before you eat, where you thoroughly wash your hands. You will remember when we were talking about or going through the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, we talked about the fact that all that was done was take a little of purified water and sprinkle it on the wrists, on the back of the wrists, and that was it. But if you didn't do that, if you didn't follow the law of the elders, it wasn't the law of God, then you were somehow unclean. But the Scripture says that nowhere. Yet at the same time, they did not they took away from the Word of God by not recognizing that a thankful heart was necessary. Just doing the outward thing was fine. These Jews have added. I've mentioned cults, but friends, sadly, we see the same thing with many kinds of religions that claim to be Christian. Sometimes they're ones that we think of, you know, as being, we think of Romanism, for example. But there are other so-called conservative Christians who are legalists, who think that God would have said something was wrong, and so they go ahead and do it for Him. This just won't do. It is ungodly. It is wrong. Because it is not according to the Scriptures. Now, where would the priests have gotten, the Pharisees have gotten this idea about sprinkling this water on the back of their wrists? Well, in the Bible, the priests were to bathe before going to work. And there were commands in certain occasions when the people were to wash themselves. And so what the Pharisees had done was to say, well, if it's good to do it here and at these certain times, you just never know. Maybe you'd better do it all the time, even though Scripture doesn't say it. See, that's how they'd gone way beyond. They demanded they do this ritual washing every time they'd eat. At the same time, the elders were already saying, and you can read this in the Talmud, that to neglect this was worse than adultery. See, what they're doing is adding to and taking away from the Scripture. Jesus pointed this out. He showed them that their adherence to the traditions had led to the forsaking of God's law in just one easy example here. Now, I'd said, God has given to us teachers. Paul speaks of that in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And we are not to despise them. Indeed, we are never to despise tradition and history, along with the teaching of the elders from the distant time or from the elders that you have right now. However, they are never the last word. They may be helps in our understanding the Scripture, but they are not on a level with Scripture. We are always to take the teaching of these teachers to the Word of God. It's a commonplace almost for me to refer you to the Berean people in Acts chapter 16. They were commended for checking up Paul himself. They were commended for checking up on an apostle's teaching. If the Bereans were commended for doing that, how can anyone say that a tradition or a teacher or a magisterium can have more authority than the Scripture itself? How can anyone say that these have ultimate say-so? Only the Bible can have that. Now we read here that the Pharisees were offended. Shouldn't preachers avoid offending people? It's a modern sensibility in many of the so-called evangelical churches we have in America today. We don't want to cause offense. We want to be seeker-friendly. Well, when possible, yes, we are to avoid offense. No, pastors shouldn't be, for example, eating sardine and garlic sandwiches before making pastoral calls in homes. Right? Just not a good idea. But truth should never be left in the wake of this idea. We are never to avoid offense when we're going to have to throw away truth in the bargain. There's a big difference, friends, between causing offense and taking offense sometimes. So, who decides what is right or wrong? Who decides what is good is evil? Who decides what is true, what is false? ultimately, it is the Scriptures. It is the Bible. The Bible alone determines that. It is not, friends, the opinions of psychologists. It is not the punditry of newspaper or magazine editorialists. It is not what some educator will say. No, ultimately, the source that we must go to determine these things is the Scripture. Now, secondly, where does the actual evil itself come from? Does it come from the outside or from the inside? And that's what we look at in verses 10 through 20 here. Now that we're clear, I trust so anyway, on the standard of authority, where does sin come out of? Well, again, we have a difference between Jesus here and the elders and their followers, the Pharisees. The elders, scribes, and Pharisees of those days and of these days teach that sin is outside. Sin is something that happens to people. Sin is from the outside. Jesus says, sin is from the inside. Sin is in the heart, as we were looking at this morning. Sin is in man, not in some outward thing that victimizes him, that ambushes him, that takes him captive, that leaves him helpless. Sin is not on the outside. No, friends, there is not a creature, there is not a creation that can make you sin. And do you remember, you folks are my age or so and older, do you remember my referring when we were back in Mark to the old Flip Wilson show? And Geraldine, his character, who used to go around saying, the devil made me do it. The devil never made anyone do anything. Maybe some of you can remember when you were younger. Maybe some of you are younger. And you got into trouble with a brother or a sister. And you tried to justify yourself before your parents by saying, well, he made me do it. She made me do it. And I trust you still got what? Because your brother never made you do anything. Your sister never made you do anything. No. Actually, sin that you commit is from your heart, as Jesus clearly says so. Now the Pharisees, because they had this idea that sin was from the outside, sin was caused by things, or sin was caused by something else out here, they said if we can keep that outside stuff out, the inside stuff will stay in and be good. And this is why they added on so many things to the law of God. They saw that out waiting for any person was this cliff life. This cliff they might fall off into and be unclean. So if you put a fence behind it, you won't get close. But maybe that's a little too close. So let's add another law, another layer, another safety net. But that's maybe not good enough for some other people. Let's step back another bit. But it never did any good. It never did any good. People still kept sinning. Why? Because the problem wasn't on the outside. Their added on stuff was no help at all. In fact, what did it lead to then? What does it lead to now? Well, to blindness, not blessing. And all these things shall perish. Now, this teaching that sin was caused by something on the outside and not from the inside, not from the heart, was something that was taught widely among the Jews at this time. And the idea that sin was on the inside was so foreign to the disciples that they figured Jesus must be telling a parable or something when he was actually talking quite straightforwardly. Funny thing. This whole idea is still often foreign to many people who claim to be believers. They still will think that there is something on the outside that is sinful, and it makes them sin, and somehow having something from the outside pollutes them. They don't realize, they don't think that it's what comes from the inside, as Jesus says, that causes all kinds of problems, that causes defilement. This is not to say that such Christians are not believers. No. No, their minds are boggled. Thankfully, their desire is to be clear from sin, and that is only found really in a believer. This is what we find here with these men, these disciples here. They can't quite figure out what in the world Jesus is talking about. But instead of dismissing Jesus' statement, instead of saying, "What's the matter with the Master? Why, these Pharisees have taught us, and that's the way it is." No. Even though they can't quite figure it out, they want to understand and they want to obey Him too. You see, on the part of the disciples, there's no offense, really. They're not offended at Him. And really, their heart attitude is right. They're just bewildered. And so Jesus here in these verses very forcefully tells the disciples and the people whom He's got gathered around Him that outward influences don't cause evil actions. The heart of man is where the trouble is. We just looked at that in Jeremiah 17 verse 9. It's not what you put in yourself. It's not objects that you have around yourself. That may be the teaching of Feng Shui, but it is not the teaching of the Scriptures. Again, friends, it's the heart of man that's the problem. It isn't society, as we have been told a whole bunch this past week. It is not lack of education. Look, this shooter boy was a senior in college. It is not poverty. This young man was not from a wealthy family, but they were not an impoverished family either. It was not his gun, or guns, I should say. From the moment of their manufacture until he took them and misused them, they had never killed anybody. And they could never kill anybody just lying in a display case or lying in a gun safe or lying even on a dresser top or a bedspread or a school desk. A gun kills no one. And certainly, as we've said, it's the heart of the man that's the problem, not the devil. We live in a society, folks, that hates the idea of personal responsibility. We live in a society that hates the notion that we can and do wrong things. Everyone wants to think that they're okay. In fact, everyone wants everyone else to think that they're okay. And when they get into sin because of their own wicked, foolish ideas, and because of their wicked, foolish heart, they are quick to blame something else. Well, I couldn't help it, it's because of this other. And so on. Watch the nightly news sometime. Listen to these wicked fools when they are in front of a judge. Listen to their attorneys. Oh, he couldn't help it. Da 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 da. And there is a total denial of any wickedness on the part of this perpetrator. It is all because of evil outside sources, evil things, or evil situations that victimized this poor person who was basically a good kid and was just starting to think about considering turning his life around. Friends, evil comes from the heart. If we do not get this straight, we will not have the right solution. That's the case with our bodies, friends. As I was saying this morning, if we have the wrong notion of what's the matter with us, we won't get things properly looked after. If we think the problem is out here someplace with not having washed hands, or if we think the problem is over there someplace with not having the right pattern of dress, or if we think the problem's over here someplace with a knife or a gun, why, we're not going to look for the remedy in its proper place to deal with our wicked hearts. What society needs to see, what each individual needs to see, is this. You are a sinner. You desperately need to be saved from your sin by this same Jesus who is speaking here in Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20. This Jesus deals with hearts. This Jesus changes hearts. This Jesus is the one to whom you must go to get to your root problem. He who has declared what is right and wrong. He who has declared what is error and what is truth. This one who has declared what is good and what is evil is the one who says that evil is inside you and you can do nothing about it. But I can and I will for everyone, for each one who comes to me in repentance. Each one who believes upon me and calls upon me to deliver them from their real problem is delivered truly and fully and forever. So friends, from what we have listened to this morning, or I should say this afternoon, and this evening as well, let us get it clear. We have been looking at, all through the news all week, all kinds of sin and wickedness and horrible things. Let us see. Evil isn't something that comes with a special ray that leads you off to do something weird or something bad and you just couldn't help it. No, evil comes from evil hearts. And evil hearts can only be changed. Evil hearts are certainly changed by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.